represented at City Council. So until next week, be good, be kind, and if you have a roof, be grateful.
This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with vegan and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner 7 nights a week with live jazz on Wednesday and Thursday and Sundays at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're also brought to you by Emporium Presents and the Cascade Theater in Reading, presenting world guitar master Jesse Cook on January 24th. This award-winning guitarist incorporates elements of Spanish, rumba, flamenco, jazz, and world music into his unique style. For information and tickets for Jesse Cook's one-night-only performance at the Cascade Theater in Reading, call 243-8877 or visit cascadetheater.org. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Today we're going to be talking about the big news that Ringling Brothers Animal Torturing Circus is closing after 146 years in business. And what will happen to its elephants and other animals. We'll also be talking about some old-school activism by Sea Shepherd in the Antarctic, and bring it back home to talk about a local story of hunters poaching a rare duck in Butte County. Jeannie, take it away.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus, once called the saddest show on earth by animal activists, has announced that it will be closing the Big Top forever in May of this year. The traveling circus had faced declining ticket sales over the past few years and had seen an even more dramatic decline since last May when they removed elephants from their show after a long legal battle and unrelenting pressure from animal activists. This landmark decision by Ringling Brothers demonstrates the power of animal activists in affecting corporate profits and the ways public consciousness is shifting around the issue of animal exploitation. Kenneth Feld and his daughter Juliet Feld, who was the company's chief operating officer, acknowledged that while it was the animals who initially drew animals into the show, the captive animals were also part of the decline in ticket sales, because for years, Ringling performances drew persistent and ultimately effective protesters to nearly every show. Animal activists were protesting because of cruel and demeaning treatment of the animals for the sake of entertainment. Specifically, Feld Entertainment, the company that owns the circus, had been cited for numerous Federal Animal Welfare Act animal care violations, for transporting shackled and caged animals for very long distances in rail cars or trucks, and for using pain and fear to train and control the animals. In the case of the elephants, activists also were focused on the use of bull hooks on the elephants. At its peak, the circus was on the road 48 weeks of every year, traveling 16,000 miles to 45 towns. That is a lot of time to spend in a semi-tractor trailer or on a train car.
It's not good at all.
No. One big obstacle that the circus had faced in the last couple of years were local ordinances. Animal activists in many cities were getting their local city councils or boards of supervisors to pass local ban the bullhook regulations, which effectively kept traveling animal circuses out of their city. I'll just mention, too, that the Performing Animal Welfare Society, based in San Andreas, and we'll talk about a little bit more about them later, too, but they do not use a bullhook. They have many African and Asian elephants on their sanctuary, and they do not use a bullhook to control the animals. Instead, they have what they call a no-contact protocol. So they design the enclosures so that the animals never can harm humans.
Right, and they're, of course, not trying to make them stand on chairs and do little tricks.
No, certainly not any of that. So, and of course, paradoxically, while the animal activists were saying that they didn't want big animals to perform in circuses, many patrons refused to go to a circus because there was no elephant in the big top.
Yeah.
So they were kind of slammed on both sides. So yeah, I think it's pretty clear. If you look at this from a strictly commercial point of view, Ringling appears to have made, I think, a bad decision not to rebrand itself and go animal free a decade or even two decades ago, right? I mean, I don't think that you could reasonably expect animal activists to just go away because you didn't like them. So,
I mean, even when they're, as it was noted, they were violating the Federal Animal Welfare Act. So kind of citing, obviously, the pressure from activists is probably what turned the key here. But, you know, if they're habitually violating the federal law, traveling, it obviously they weren't able to do it without cruelty. And while I wouldn't say want tame elephants traveling around either, you know, as a big business, if they hadn't spent millions of dollars fighting this, they could have sort of transitioned to both a better circus and, you know, maybe fixed circuses. There could have been ways they could have kept the elephants longer in a better manner. Not that we would approve that.
Right, right.
But, you know, just this kind of complete rejection of any compromise and, you know, and look, they're out of business. So,
yeah. Yeah, so, and we can talk a little bit about, you know, there are plenty of animal-free circuses. Certainly,
right.
The whole Cirque du Soleil movement with, I think they run like four or five different versions of Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas.
I think I've heard of that. I think people like that.
Yeah, and that's that's just a celebration of human excellence, human
right.
performances. So, anyway, of course, we as animal activists celebrate the closure of a company that has profited off the use of exotic animals for entertainment for over 140 years, since around 1870. But we are also concerned about what will happen to the animals after the last show. Feld Entertainment itself has simply stated that the animals will be, quote, placed in suitable homes, unquote. And it's already known that the elephants are being retired to the 200-acre Center for Elephant Conservation in Polk City in Central Florida, which Feld Entertainment actually established back in 1995. And we'll talk more about that later. Mm. That's the story that Danny's going to be bringing to you all. As an aside, Ringling, just in December, appointed its first African-American ringmaster in what seemed, in hindsight, to be a last bid to stay, I guess, relevant. The move was deeply ironic, since according to a report that I was reading from the Daily Beast, P.T. Barnum, who was the original creator of the circus, that's why it's called Barnum and Bailey, first got into the circus business with a racist sideshow in the mid-1800s with after he purchased for $1,000 an elderly African-American woman whose owner had been exhibiting her as the quote 161-year-old wet nurse of George Washington. She was billed as the greatest natural and national curiosity in the world. Unbelievable, huh?
It's just disgusting. And for everyone who says, you know, there's not a problem with race in America, that's not that many generations ago.
Absolutely. And the article went on to say that even after the poor woman had passed away, Barnum had the audacity to sell tickets to watch her public autopsy in a New York saloon, right? Just a different era.
He also
is
said,
it that different, though?
What did he say? There's a sucker born every minute.
And, yes, he was known for that, too.
Which we might have some presidential elects that exhibit very similar tendencies.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That article, that Daily Beast article, was actually titled the Original Fake News.
Yeah.
And that was the way they were trying to, it was more a portrayal of P.T. Barnum. That same article also I was interested to learn that cruel treatment of circus elephants was a public issue even back then in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Hmm. According to the writer Michael Daly, P.T. Barnum had persuaded the founder of the ASPCA, Henry Berg, that the elephants' thick skin prevented them from feeling pain when they were beaten and prodded with the very same bullhook that they use in modern times. And in order to try and mollify Henry Berg, who was one of the original animal activists, he's the founder of the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
Cool.
He promised to give him a generous bequest from his estate after he passed away. And, of course, after Barnum passed away, that was a ruse, and there was no bequest because...
So he lied like other people.
Yes,
gotcha.
Exactly.
I mean, I think this is a great win for a long time and a lot of sustained activism, along with obviously probably economic changes and societal changes. But it's a big deal, and it sets precedent for SeaWorld and all these other places and the local roadside zoos that still exist.
Yep. Back in 2009 here in Chico, if folks weren't around then, the Chico Vegan Meetup organized protests and vigils against one of these small traveling circuses. It was called Circus Gotti. It had two little Asian elephants, and these animals were moved from town to town. I think they moved like up the I-5 corridor, basically. Moving these animals in a semi-truck. And after 2 years of protesting, they kind of skipped Chico. It was clear when we would hold these vigils that the parking lot at the Silver Dollar Fairground was pretty empty.
Awesome.
This was not a high-draw circus.
Right.
Most of the attendance for these circuses, for their performances, was from free tickets that they handed out at local restaurants. They'd have little coupons and things.
I mean, you just think about the fuel costs and the feed costs, and let's ignore the fact that they probably give limited medical attention. Like, all these are very expensive exercises anyway. So to make any profit, you know that where they would cut corners had to be on animal care.
Yep. Anyway, over to you, Danny. Let's hear a little bit more about how an exploitative industry treats its retired elephants.
All right, with that handoff, what will happen to the elephants? As Ringling shuts down, it's not clear where the lions, tigers, bears, horses, and other animals are going to. But we do know that their elephants, all 42 of them, went to a remote 200-acre facility in central Florida, which is actually just 50 acres of barns, paddocks, fenced pastures, and open fields, and an additional 150 acres of protected wetlands. So
right off the bat,
so
right?
There's only 50 acres, right? That 150 acres doesn't count, it sounds
exactly.
like.
Exactly, for 42 animals, for 42 elephants.
So they went to a 50-acre facility in central Florida, which they tell you is 200, and then amongst that 50 acres, it's barns. It's not open, necessarily. Animal rights activists are wary of this so-called conservation facility, where the circus company will continue breeding its elephants and also use them for its cancer research program, which at this point is mostly just taking blood samples and analyzing them. I don't know. Do you know any more about that, Jeannie? Because I've never been like, I'm waiting for Ringling Brothers to cure cancer.
Yeah, really?
You know, what's their latest study?
Elephants have very low or non-existent cancer rates, so they present a, quote, interesting animal model, non-human animal model for cancer. The blood samples, actually, to keep elephants healthy, one element of that, of their veterinary care, is regular blood, taking blood on a regular basis.
Got it.
Even like the Paws Sanctuary in San Andreas, they do all that.
It'll be interesting to see if they're allowed to sell these animals off to other nations. So
or to the zoos.
Or to other zoos, right?
And there still are traveling elephant circuses.
Right.
And there are still elephants used in entertainment, in commercials and such. Actually, I'm not sure whether I included this information, but the one of the founders or the main managers of this facility, this elephant conservation mm-hmm. facility, one of them does have a history in training elephants for commercials.
How convenient.
Exactly. But we know how to take care of our elephants because of that.
Right. According to a report from the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, this facility is little more than a glorified breeding compound where elephants spend hours chained up in barns, living under the control of the bullhook and dealing with rampant foot injuries and tuberculosis outbreaks, all of which sound like common problems when you're chained up and you don't get to move freely. National Geographic reported that all the elephants are brought inside and chained up nightly. This is, and this is sad, the keepers say, because the elephants have been trained from birth to sleep indoors and to eat their food after they're tethered with an ankle chain for the night, which they say is to keep the elephants from stealing each other's meals and also to keep them from fighting. Whether or not that's true, I do believe that they might be so conditioned at this point that that's what they have to do, and that's sort of the tragedy. Even worse, the bull elephants, because they are strong and unpredictable, are penned up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The females are allowed to roam in larger enclosures, but they are still, as we said, penned up at night. One aim of the program is perfecting artificial insemination procedures to produce more elephants, more baby elephants. For what end, we do not know. Stephen Payne, a spokesman for Feld Entertainment, the parent company of Ringling Brothers, was quoted as saying, "We are working to save an endangered species." And I have a bridge to sell. some experts say forcing these elephants to breed in captivity misses the point. Susan Nance, a historian at the University of Guelph?
Yes.
In Ontario, Canada, is the author of two books on circus elephants in America. Nance says public opinion on elephants shifted in the 1940s, first with Disney's release of the movie Dumbo, and later with the advent of wildlife documentaries, and further with the children's stories about Babar the elephant and Horton Hears a Who. Nance said the movies in particular showed audiences that elephants were intrinsically valuable outside of our own human self-serving interests.
I dare anyone, I challenge anyone to watch Dumbo and not cry when Dumbo is separated from his mom.
Definitely. Because of these movies and animal activists, most people are more wary of forcing animals to do unnatural things for our personal benefit. But places like Feld Entertainment's conservation facility show otherwise. Nance went on to say, quote, "It just shows how they don't get what the public sentiment is. The whole premise of the Ringling point of view is that these animals are here for us to use."
Right. It's the whole, they need to earn their keep. Right. Whether it's an elephant or it's a cow or a chicken.
Right.
The animal has to earn its keep.
Ed Stewart, the president and co-founder of the Performing Animal Welfare Society, which has a 2,400-acre elephant sanctuary in San Andreas, California, is an elephant expert who feels strongly that lasting elephant preservation will not happen by making more baby elephant babies in North America, instead, he supports efforts to save elephant habitats from encroachment and development back home in Africa and Asia. The very idea of captivity, even when it comes to his own sanctuary, makes him uncomfortable. In an interview for Vice magazine, Ed Stewart was quoted as saying, "I don't drive through our place and look at the elephants up on the hill eating grass and say, gee, this is so great for them. I look at the fence and say, this is going to go to the end and hit the fence. I wish elephants weren't behind fences. I think basically it's unethical to put an animal in a situation where you know they're going to be deprived their whole life."
Right. So that's the difference, right? In many ways, the PAWS Elephant Sanctuary is similar to our own Humane Societies for Dogs and Cats. Mm-hmm. Both these groups would like to be out of business.
Definitely.
They have no desire to stay in business. Whereas the conservation facility, it doesn't seem like they're on a track to put themselves out of business, right? I mean, once you start introducing the elephant as a biomedical model for cancer.
And is it a nonprofit sanctuary or is it a for-profit conservation?
That is a good question. I did not do research on that. You caught me on that.
This reminds me of, you know, the California Happy Cows advertising, right? And, oh, look, they're out in the hills. And I remember as a kid, you know, the local hills meeting the cows and how cool it was. And not realizing that when I went and met the cows next year, that they were different cows because those cows only lived a year, and then they were sold off for beef. You know, so people get that impression. They say, "Look how happy they are," but they're not.
And one extra little factoid I just want to throw into this mix here is that Congress banned the importation of endangered species like Asian elephants back in 1973.
Wow!
So that's another incentive for developing artificial insemination and, quote, reliable breeding programs, is because they're not getting any more elephants from Africa or Asia here.
I mean,
so we got to breed our own.
Even if you have kids, even if you have fond memories of your experiences, don't go to zoos. Don't go to circuses that have animals.
I do encourage folks to go to the Paws Sanctuary, though, when they have their open houses.
For sure. Jeannie is up next.
All right. So let's talk about some old school hardcore animal activism courtesy of Sea Shepherd. The anti-whaling campaign group Sea Shepherd says it has photographed Japanese whalers carrying out a slaughter inside Australia's Antarctic Whale Sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Exactly.
Where you're not supposed to do this by law.
The same day, and this happened on the same day that the Japanese Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, was in Australia on a state visit. So in the first documented killing since the International Court of Justice ruled Japan's Antarctic whaling illegal in 2014, Sea Shepherd released photographs of what it says is a dead minke whale on the deck of the Japanese whaling ship Nishin Maru at 11:34 a.m. last Sunday. Sea Shepherd activists, who took the photos by helicopter after 5 weeks of shadowing the Japanese whalers, said the Nishin Maru crew tried to hide the slaughtered minke with a tarp, and the other whaling ships in the convoy also covered their harpoons, according to Sea Shepherd. So they're trying to hide themselves. Shameless.
And there was pictures of this, too. So
the photographs are also the first to document the Japanese fleet's killing of whales since the Australian court found the industry was in contempt back in 2015 for killing protected whales in an official Australian whale sanctuary. At the time, the court fined the Japanese whalers $1 million for the killings, but the fines were ignored and never paid, and there was no mechanism to compel payment. Adam Meyerson, the captain of the Sea Shepherd patrol ship Ocean Warrior, said, quote, "The whale killers from the Nishin Maru were caught red-handed slaughtering whales in the Australian whale sanctuary. The Steve Irwin, another boat in the fleet, in the Sea Shepherd fleet, has shut down their illegal operations and caught them trying to hide the evidence." End quote. Jeff Hansen, the managing director of Sea Shepherd Australia, said, quote, "A lack of action by the Turnbull is the prime minister of Australia, government, showed the government has no spine when it comes to protecting the wishes of Australians to defend the Southern Ocean Whale Sanctuary," end quote. Sea Shepherd said in a statement last Sunday that the killing of the whales had been halted after the helicopter relayed the whaling fleet's position to the Steve Irwin, which was on a course to intercept the factory ship. So it's not enough just to have the picture. You have to document the exact location.
Right.
And so, you know, modern technology helps with this. This would have been much more difficult to ascertain.
Definitely.
You know, even 10 years ago. Japan had previously caught hundreds of whales a year in Antarctic waters, flaunting a worldwide moratorium on whale hunting under what it called a, quote, scientific research program that other nations, including the United States, regarded as a sham.
Not only is it a sham, but I sort of missed where historically Japan is anywhere near Antarctica.
Yeah, some of this is only made possible by having a fleet of industrial level boats that can, you know,
yeah,
go
but
out
to often these waters. It's this nativist claim that, you know, well, this is what we did historically and we're just continuing research. I mean, obviously this is completely unrelated to Japanese waters or any whales that live near Japan. The whales do swim around.
The whale meat from the program from these ships, which is the hunting, the ships are subsidized by the Japanese government. The meat is sold in Japanese restaurants. And whale meat was actually turned out to be somewhat common in Japanese school lunches during the 1960s, but now, of course, it rarely figures in the common diet.
Yeah, I think in a way it's probably similar to how our government props up the dairy and meat industries with so many subsidies to sell a product that they probably couldn't sell otherwise, and or people that wouldn't buy it if they weren't inundated with free advertising and subsidies.
Pretty much. Yeah, so we're kind of running short on time. I just want to one thing that I find important about what Sea Shepherd does is that they do what the governments are not doing,
right,
and are not enforcing. These groups are very important for shining a spotlight on what the average person really wants to see enforced.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm generalizing, but I would think that the average person, whether you're a vegan or vegetarian or not, you really object to seeing a whale slaughtered.
Right.
Right.
And then the meat thrown away, most likely, or rotting in a freezer.
Yeah. So, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. I'm going to go ahead, Danny. Let's do it.
All right, we're going to blow through this last story really quick. Jeannie signed me up for this, even though I avoided reading this article because it would harsh my mellow, as we say. So this is about duck poachers in Butte County. Biologist and avid birder Don Garcia of Oroville said she saw poachers kill a rare long-tailed duck in Oroville. And what's worse, the poachers may have targeted the duck after enthusiastic birders posted the sighting and the location on Facebook. Local birders were devastated as they literally watched poachers shoot and kill a rare long-tailed duck. Don Garcia, who's part of the local birding community and the conservation chapter of the local Audubon Society, says she was thrilled when she found out a rare long-tailed duck had somehow found its way to the Feather River in Oroville. The last time birders had seen these birds in this area was about 6 years ago. She and other birders gathered along the banks of the Brad Freeman Trail, also known as Oroville State Recreation Area, to view the diversion canal where the bird had been seen before. While viewing the bird, she and a few other birding friends heard gunfire and saw one man with a gun and one man in the driver's seat of an extended cab white pickup truck. Garcia yelled at the men to stop shooting, and then they got in the truck and sped off, which is just tragic and terrible, and people suck. The people and the police and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife came and examined the body of the long-tailed duck that Garcia and a friend had recovered using an inflatable boat. The officials told her that poachers are using birding social media sites to target rare birds, which they mount as trophies because they're big, strong men. The only description available is two men in a white extended cab pickup truck near the Brad Freeman Trail in the Oroville State Recreation Area at the Diversion Canal. If you have any info, call the Department of Fish and Wildlife CalTIP hotline 1-888-334-CALTIP or the same number and numbers 1-888-334-2258. And now it is time for the Chico Animal Rights calendar of events.
Yeah, let's talk about what's coming up here. Thursday, the 19th, we have the seasonal cooking class sign up for a vegan cooking class on Thursday, January 19th through Cultivating Community. Learn how to prepare healthy seasonal vegan dishes using fresh vegetables, whole grains, and unprocessed foods with Cultivating Community. The class will be held from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Bidwell Presbyterian Church at 208 West 1st Street. Cultivating Community North Valley is a project of Chico State funded by USDA Specialty Crop Block Grant. For more information, contact Lindsay at Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, at grubchico.org or call her at 530-680-3217. Or you can also get information online at grubed.org. And on January 22nd, we have the Stay Healthy Chico, Sunday, January 22nd, we have the Stay Healthy Chico weekly meeting from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the New Earth Market at 864 East Avenue, Chico, California. This week they have a special guest, Arna Gilkis. Arna is a local plant-based vegan cooking teacher, and she'll be teaching a five-session class in Oroville starting at the end of January, which will focus on helping people make the transition to plant-based eating. So if you're looking to reset your diet, you might want to attend this little intro meeting on this Sunday from 5:30 to 6:30 at the New Earth Market in Chico at Cohasset and East Avenue. You do not have to be vegan to attend this meeting, and it's free and all are welcome. For more info, contact Chiffon at the Stay Healthy Meetup Group at meetup.com. And let's go on. We have one last bit of business to take care of, Danny.
Here's a quote from the animal rights group PETA for you to consider. All other animal circuses, roadside zoos, and wild animal exhibitors, including marine amusement parks like SeaWorld and the Miami Seaquarium, must take note. Society has changed. Eyes have been opened. People now know who these animals are, and we know it is wrong to capture and to exploit them.
Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. And many thanks to Sue Hildebrand for her engineering assistance and moral support. Stay tuned for The Real Issue coming up next.
You've been listening to Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff.
If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again, please visit the archives at KZFR.org and search for Non-Human Radio. This is Jeannie Trezino and Danny Tom signing off.
Until next time, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan!